This morning, I'm going to be transparent. I'm sitting there and I'm studying, and there's a lot that's going on. It was last night was a tough night for my wife, dealing with some things, sick dog and so on and so forth. And it was just tough. And I woke up this morning, and you kind of get into one of those moods and get into one of those funks, and then trying to get here, there was all sorts of stuff that was just like, everything just seemed to be like hindering. And I walked in and I'm like, I was just like zoned in. I was like, okay, I'm just going to zone in. I'm just going to focus on this. And then give me time to get some stuff done. And I will tell you this, I struggled with dealing with like having peace in my heart. And I'm sitting there and look, sometimes I am dull. Sometimes I am stupid. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what? And then it dawns on me. The Lord's like, what are you preaching on today? And I'm like, well, I'm preaching on peace. And I'm like, oh. So this is for me this morning. You guys get to watch the conviction all happen here in live, real time. As I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh, Lord, forgive me. It's just what it is. I want you to take a look over at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 this morning is where we're going to start. In Exodus 14, you might be familiar with this passage. And, the nation of Israel, children of Israel, have left the bondage of Egypt. And they're on their way over, and they come across a large body of water that is not easy to cross. I'm sure the ferry systems were probably not going to be working for them. I'm sure there wasn't a bridge that was over it that they could do. So they're there. And again, this wasn't the Reed Sea. This was the Red Sea. And as they are there, this is not a marsh. This is something that is a big body of water that is preventing them. And they're all kind of like, okay, now what? And then as they turn around, because the people in the rear start hearing the wheels of chariots and the hoofbeat of horses and the screaming of war as the Egyptians are coming to kill them all. That was a terrifying thing. I mean, that is a rock and a hard place, so to speak. You're stuck. And these people are not fighters. They're builders. They're craftsmen. They're not a dominating kingdom that has many mighty men of war at this point. These are individuals that are unprepared for battle. And as they look around, they begin to lift up their voices and cry, and they say some things, but I want you to look at verse 14. This is going to be where we're focusing on this morning. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. Lord, I thank you again for your word that comforts and convicts. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us through that. And Lord, I just pray that as we look at this morning, the Lord would reflect on some questions. The Lord, we would take an introspect look into our lives. The Lord, we would ask for an examination and a trial by you to search us, to know our hearts, Lord, to reveal in us where we fight when we shouldn't and where we struggle when we shouldn't. But Lord, where it is that we need to trust you more and more each day. Pray, Lord, you just be with me and speak through me, that all of this would be pleasing, honoring, and glorifying to you in your name. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You all right there, Chuck?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure we don't have to do CPR. All right. Exodus chapter 14, we see here that the Lord is telling them something specific. Moses is giving a word to the people as they're very obviously they're frightened. They're frightened, and in their process of being frightened, they say some foolish things. Now, I'll tell you this, fear will make you do that. Fear is not a logical mindset when it dominates you. It troubles you. And what we find is that they are troubled, and they make some charges very specifically, where you go to verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus to carry us forth out of Egypt? And while they're sitting there saying these things, in verse 12 it says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And there's so many things wrong with that statement, those statements. I mean, you could just sit there and dissect the whole thing. But essentially, while they are saying, Moses, this is your fault, Moses is the man of God. Who are they blaming? It's just like the garden. It's the woman you gave me. Oh, it's the serpent that you made. Lord, it's all your fault. They're blaming God. They're blaming Moses. They're making some charges rather foolishly here, saying some rather exaggerated statements, making stupid things, comments about it better to serve in bondage than to be free under the Lord. But they don't grab that concept yet. But there's that curious little saying where the Lord is guiding Moses to say, ye shall hold your peace. And really, when you think about it, that is a curious little saying. Hold your peace. I mean, when you're holding something, you're grabbing something. You're like, I'm holding this. I'm holding my water bottle. And you're holding on to it. I'm not going to hold it through the whole service. But what you find is you find that sometimes is our mentality of what we think here. And we know this to be used, and we know kind of what it may be talking about, but it has a deeper meaning than just stop saying stuff. Now, they did say stuff. And Moses is like, okay, you need to hold your peace before you go too far here. You've already gone far enough, but let's just see what God does. Because he says in verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. He says, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Yeah, I'll say this. Here's Moses in meekness, trying to calm the people down. And I will tell you this, when you're trying to calm and comfort, always make sure you're pointing to Christ. Always make sure you're pointing to Christ. Don't try to point to yourself, and don't try to point to emotions, and don't try to use some sort of, meditation mindset and breathing and things like that. I will tell you this, it is a lot better to just sit back and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You know, I'll say this, our peace is often lost when we start fighting the wrong fights. Specifically, when we start fighting battles that God said, I will fight those for you. When we start fighting battles that God has already said, I'm going to handle this, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to do this my way, you just need to stand back and watch. You know, for us, that's a difficult thing. And we often, what do? We cause ourselves to struggle. We cause ourselves to lose grasp and hold of that peace that God says you're supposed to be holding on to. And what's the end result is we're frantic and we're fearful. And what happens when they're twice your size? What happens when it's something that you cannot handle? What happens when it's something that you never saw coming? What happens when your world just goes all over the place? What do? Our tendency is what? I need to fix it. Well, I know how to fix this, and I know how to fix this, and I know how to fix this, and I know what's wrong with that person, and that's what the cause of the problem, because I'm, you know, free of all guilt and sin, so I know it's... No. We know how to fix things better in other people's lives sometimes than our own, but understand this, is we look at all of that, and it's all about us, it's all about how we're going to fix it. The only way you're going to fix it is from this book. The only way you're going to fix it is if you are fully submitted and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no magic to it. There is no special incantation. There is no special password to it. It is just pure scriptural, biblical actions and obedience. You know, all they had to do is just stand there. And sometimes in the fights that we go through, there are fights that we should not fight, just like Josiah when he fought the fight that he shouldn't have fought, and he wound up dying because of it. But the Lord said, you don't have to fight this one. Now, there will be times where he calls us to fight. And there will be times that he calls us to do certain things. But in this situation, you know what the Lord's saying? Let me handle it. Let me handle it. The only thing you need to hold on to is not your sword, but your peace. That word hold, obviously we know, means to grasp with a hand, but it also means to stop, to restrain from escape, to keep fast, and to retain. If you start thinking about that as a definition with that word, hold your peace, there's times we need to hold on to it. You know, we let go of things too quickly. We have a tendency to drop things. And I'll tell you, this is we choose to release things when we want to. And many times we choose to get rid of our peace that God has given to us. And we trade it for something else. We trade it for war. I mean, the book of James talks about that over in James chapter 4, does he not? Here's the whole reason why war exists. Here's the whole reason why conflict exists. Here's why there's strife that is out there. But God tells us, you just need to hold on to your peace. And this is a theme throughout all of Scripture. But remember this, that peace only comes from God. I mean, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. When you go through and you see love, joy, and then what's the third one? Peace. And this world wants peace. The people in Ukraine want peace. The people in the Middle East want peace. You're like, well, some of them do. The industrial military complex does not want peace. They want money. The whole thing is, you know, it's all about money. Money, 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 money. And in the end, that doesn't bring peace. We try to hold on to something else, and we find that it just causes more frustration, it causes more anxiety, it causes us to just freak out in life. This morning, perfect illustration. Just like all of a sudden, like getting all, and then the Lord's like, and I'm like, and I'll tell you this, the moment I said, God, you are 100% right. This is yours. And this isn't me. This isn't Ken Stewart. This is you. Something changed in my heart. There was a difference. There was a difference. And you know what? I'll tell you this. You take a look at what's going on here, and as long as they held on to what the Lord had given to them, that peace would remain. You know the Lord's given you peace. You're like, well, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I wouldn't necessarily say there's peace. I would say there's some contention and there's some strife and some so on and so forth. I understand that, but all that can be looked at and viewed through the eyes of the cross and realize that God, He sent Jesus Christ to make peace. And when He came to make peace, He made that on the cross so that you could be reconciled to God. So that you could have forgiveness of sins. So that you can have Christ in you and you in Him, and you can have that relationship that you didn't have before. And the end result is that you have peace with God. Why? Because your sin is no longer causing war. The more we view things through Christ, the more peace we have. The more we look at it and say, Lord, I know You're right. I know exactly what I need to do. I know I need to be obedient to Your scripture. I'm going to hold on to the peace because I need this to remain. The Israelites had to do that. Could you imagine if they said, no, we're going to go ahead and fight? Would have been a slaughter. You know what God desires you to have peace in your life? God wants you to have peace. God wants you to put something in your hand that He has given to you. And the problem is we don't hold on to the things God gives us. We don't hold on to those gifts. Sometimes we re-gift them. Sometimes we goodwill them. We get rid of them. Hold on to that peace. Hold on to that peace. I want you to take a look at some things in the Old Testament. I want you to understand that when you look at, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus. I want you to see some things. You know, when they were doing those sacrifices on the altar and all that, the first thing that they had to deal with was, first and foremost, they had to deal with the sin offering, then the burnt offering, and then the peace offering. Peace offering came a little bit later after all the other stuff was taken care of. And I will tell you this, you will not have peace in your life as long as sin is still there. Now look, you may have peace with God. You may be on your way to heaven, but consistent sin and continual sin and willful sin in your life will cause you to have issues that you don't want to have. It will not give you peace. It will not give you peace. People in this day and age, they want peace, and they go to it in the form of substance abuse. They go into the form of stuff. They go into the form of meaningless relationships. They go into whatever it is that tries to, if you will, deal with that war, that uncomfortable feeling, that anxiety that they're dealing with, and they don't go to God seeking the peace. But they got to take care of the sin. They got to take care of that first. In Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 2, I want you to take a look at something here. Here's the peace offering in verse 1. And it says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon and the altar round about. And it goes through and it talks about how they're going to, you know, dissect it and so on and so forth, and how it's going to be a sweet savor unto the Lord. All those things. I want you to note something there. There's something that is absent that I'm going to point out. And go over to chapter 17 of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, and he starts talking about some things with the sin offering and what they're supposed to be doing and how they're going to do these things and cleanse it. In verse 11 here it says, For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In the sin offering, the atonement was made. The peace offering wasn't about that. The peace offering, which came later, is acknowledging that the atonement made peace. See, this peace offering wasn't the purpose behind it was never meant for atonement. It was never meant to seek and obtain peace from God. That's not the purpose behind the peace offering. What it was to express the knowledge that their peace was existing. They were giving thanks for the fact that it was already established, that they had taken care of it, that they had done those things. And I will tell you this, that was a peace offering that would be given, and it would be given willingly. And one of the things that if you want to take a look at the Christian life, you need to make sure you're doing that every single day, saying, Lord, I just want to give a peace offering to you. Lord, thank you for the peace that I have. Thank you for the salvation that I have in you. Thank you for the fact that I'm not at war and against you and your enemy any longer. I am your saint. I am your child. I'm saved. Your whole entire life changes when you start doing that. And this is the intent behind the peace offering. This wasn't to make peace with God. This wasn't to try to obtain it. This was something that was given as a Lord, I have peace with you. I'm coming to you in worship and fellowship, Lord. And as I give of myself on that altar, as I give of, you know, what belongs to me, as I give of all those things, that Lord, this is representing the peace that I have. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, yeah, I know, I'm going there. It talks about how, you know, what we do is reasonable. And it is a sacrifice. And when we realize that we need to put some things that the Lord has shown us in our life, and we need to let Him fight the battles, and we need to let Him handle it, and we just need to stand back and hold on to that peace that God has given to us and not let go of it. That peace offering was representing that. That peace offering was there for that purpose. Go over to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I want you to take a look at verse 7. Paul is writing to Rome, says that right here, says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see that right there. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Next book. Next book. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, a couple pages over. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You're like, are you going to go through every single one? Yeah, I am. Next book. Next book. Philippians. Verse 2. I'm proving a point here. Verse 2 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians. Next book. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Next book, 1 Thessalonians. A bunch of people that needed some peace. Needed some peace. Verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Timothy, 1 Timothy, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, he adds mercy this time, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, well, certainly, how about the next one in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, how about Titus? Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay. How about Philemon? How about Philemon? Philemon, only one chapter. Verse 3. Grace to you and what? Peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, every single time in those Pauline epistles, Paul's writing that. And Paul isn't just writing that as greetings and salutations, as some sort of, you know, just common thing. No, Paul wrote it and Paul meant it. Why? Because he struggled with that too. And he knew the only place he was going to get peace from was from God and from Jesus Christ. You weren't going to get it anywhere else. And what is he doing? He's pointing all the saints, saying, look, you're going to get grace from God, and you're also going to get peace from God. We got grace at the cross. We got grace upon salvation. When we realize that there's peace there too, that is something that we need to hold on to. And here he is telling them, look, you need to continue holding on to it, regardless of where you are in this world and who you are. Every saint needs to hold on to that. God would not put that in there, in those salutations, if he did not want you to understand peace is available and peace is right there for you to choose. And peace is something you can hold on to. You ever try to hold on to something that's difficult to hold on to? You ever try to hold on to something that's big and bulky? You grow tired of it? Peace isn't like that. Peace is something you want to hold on to. Peace is something that you just, I don't want to say instinctually, but spiritually in you, in the deepest bowels of who you are, of your heart, you say, I want peace, and I'm going to hold this in my heart till the Lord comes back. You know what happens your battles that you fight will look different. The struggles you go through, the tribulations that you go through, all of those things will look drastically different. Because you're viewing it with peace in your hand, with peace in your heart, with peace in your mind. And here's over there in Exodus. I mean, again, I don't think any of us have faced a several hundred thousand army bearing down on us. Even if you were in the military, there was engagements, but it wasn't, you didn't have standing there and have, say, like a million men coming after you. You may have had a few, you may have been in intense battles where there was thousands, but not to the degree of the Egyptian army. And you weren't out there with your M4 or your M16 or any of those things. You were out there with a stick.
That's right.
And they've got what? They got armor. They got chariots. They got swords. They got spears. They got bow and arrows. They got all sorts of stuff. They're well trained. They're a very prominent kingdom that has dominated the region for generations. They were vicious. They were mean. They were cruel in battle, and they were coming for you. And you were looking at that, going, "Okay, well, I got a stick." The Lord just says, I want you to hold your peace. You know, sometimes we lose our peace when we say things that we shouldn't, because things are in our heart that trouble us. That's because we haven't held peace in our heart. We haven't held peace in our heart. I want you to go over Psalm chapter 37. Here's the keys to peace. Here's keys to peace in your life if you're struggling with peace. I'll be brief about this. Just four little points, okay? Four brief little points. Psalm chapter 37, verse 37, it says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace." The end of that man is peace. Take a look at chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85, verse 10. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." They are very closely related. You cannot separate the two. You cannot have peace without righteousness. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Here it is, folks, verse 7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Right there. Those three things show me this. When we are obedient to the Lord's will and we are obedient to the Lord's ways in His Word, and I'm not trying to alliterate here, but I want you to notice this, peace is available for you. First thing, be obedient. You're not going to have peace if you're disobedient. Obedience is key here, folks. Just simply obey. Just simply keep His commandments. Just simply take this and hide this in your heart, and there will be peace. When we are obedient to the Lord's will and ways, peace comes and peace is retained. Peace is retained. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon writes to his son, he says in verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add to thee." And that kind of blends in with exactly what is being said in the first part, but blends in with what he tells his son to do in chapter 4, which is what he got from his dad, which was get a hold of wisdom and hold on to her. Because take a look at what he says in verse 17 of the same chapter, talking about wisdom, the man that's happy when he finds wisdom. You want happiness? Find wisdom. Verse 13. But jump down to verse 17. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When we choose to be dull, when we choose to go the other direction of our own will and be void of understanding on purpose, guess what? We don't have peace. But when we seek wisdom from God, we have peace. All our paths are peace. And it goes back and it connects to His Word. Connects to His Word. Take a look at what He says in chapter 11. Book of Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 in verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. That's why you have issues with other people. I don't know how to explain it any other way. It's right there. Void of wisdom, you're gonna have some despising going on. He says, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Well, where does understanding come from? It comes from the knowledge of God in His Word through the instruction that He gives to us that we listen to, that we receive. Instruction is no good if we don't receive it, by the way. It's a choice. When we have wisdom and understanding of the Lord, His will, His ways, we'll have peace. Turn to Isaiah chapter 27. We have this in one more verse, Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. I want you to see what he says here, talking about all these things. It says in verse 5, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. You know, that's exactly what happens when we go to the strength of God and not our own strength. Guess what happens? We get a hold of peace. That's why Paul writes in every single one of his letters exactly what he learned over in 2 Corinthians, where he says, I had something that was bugging me, and I prayed for the Lord 3 times to remove it, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he said, his strength, God's strength, is made perfect in Paul's weakness. Why? Because I have to hold on to it. And when I hold on to his strength, and I hold on to that, I'm holding on to his peace. Why? Because then he will fight the battles that I can't fight. And let's be honest, I can't fight very many of them. I need Christ. And that's when Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. I will glory in everything that goes wrong in my life. Because that means I have to hold on to God a lot harder, a lot tighter, and I'm going to hold on to Him. And when I do, I'm going to have peace. Last verse. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Peace comes and is retained when we are obedient to the Lord's will and ways, when we have an understanding and wisdom of the Lord and His word and in His will, when we trust the Lord, as we see over there in Isaiah, with His strength. We're here in Romans chapter 14, and I want you to take a look here at what it says in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. That's a good verse. That is a good verse. But why? Because we're more concerned about edifying someone else than building up or puffing up ourselves. Pride. Pride. This is a pride killer. And what does he say? You need to follow after the things that make for peace. Follow after the things which make for peace. Well, let me ask you this. What is the thing that we follow after that makes for peace? The salvation that we find in Jesus Christ and Him alone. What we find in this word, what the Holy Spirit works in our hearts with, those things we follow after. When you follow after Christ, when you follow the Lord, you will have peace and you will retain it. If you stop, you let go. You let go. I want to close with us thinking about this just for a moment. Nation of Israel, on the banks of a big body of water, an army intent on killing them behind them. They've got nowhere to go. And you know what? Sometimes that's us in our life, right? Sometimes we're tempted to just go back to bondage, go back to sin. Go back to the habits that we know, the sinful behaviors that have become a pattern in our life. They're saying it's better for us to go back to Egypt. I don't think the Egyptians would have wanted them. I think they would have killed them all. Even if they were waving white flags, I think they would have just killed them all. Because they had been a problem for them. They just came out of 10 plagues that were, quote unquote, because of them. I don't think they were really interested in having a negotiation about returning to work. I think their employment was effectively terminated. Sometimes that's us in our life. And sometimes in our life, it feels like everyone's pursuing us and we can't get across. We go, Lord, what am I going to do? I'll tell you this, let the Lord fight, and you just hold on to that peace. Let me ask you this, do you have peace with the Lord? Are you saved? Do you even know what that word means? Do you even know the fact that you have sin in your life, and that's keeping you from God, and that's keeping you from an eternity with Him, and that's condemning you to a devil's hell, and that's not peaceful? Do you have salvation through Jesus Christ your Lord this morning? If you do, there's the first step. There's the first step. Believer, are you holding on to your peace? Are you holding on to it with your words and your thoughts? I mean, we find very clearly over there, they didn't. They just let their mouths fly open and they made some charges that were really pretty vile. Why? Because what's in the heart comes out the mouth. They were already murmuring and complaining before they even got started. Are we trusting the Lord to fight our battles? If we're fighting the battles ourselves, you're not going to have peace. And are we trusting in His strength? Are we resting in that? I tell you, peace can be a tricky thing. You can be in the middle of a storm, a hurricane, a tornado, good EF5 moving right through your little farmland. Guess what? You can have peace with God. You can have peace in your heart. But you got to hold on to it. And it starts with those things. Being obedient, having the wisdom and the understanding from the Lord, trusting Him fully in everything, and following after Him in the paths that He has set for you. Hold on to your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and nobody looking around, you know, if you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, the first step to peace in your life is going to be with Jesus Christ, who has reconciled you to a God that is holy and righteous. Your sin's keeping you from Him. Your sin is keeping you from the peace that God wants to give you. And it's just a matter of turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, I am a sinner and I need You. Save my soul. If you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to just come forward when we're singing this song in just a moment. Somebody will show you from the Word of God what that means and how to have salvation in Him. Believer, if you're here today and you're struggling with peace in your life, anxiety and fear might be getting a little bit more in your life than you want it to, and you're not using those things biblically, I will tell you this. You need to take a look at those four things I said. Maybe you need to get that taken care of today. If that's you today, I encourage you to just come forward, kneel here. If you got to talk with somebody, you got to pray with somebody, well, we'll make that happen. But get it taken care of today. Get that peace and hold on to it in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for all that You have given to us. And I pray, Lord, above all, from this message that we learned this morning, we will hold on to that peace. You, our strength, our trust, our hope, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, again, I just pray You'd be with each of us as we close and continue to speak to our hearts. And I ask and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.